1 and 2. I'm going to share more of a lecture with us this evening than I am a lesson. And the material that I am going to share with you, I am not going to take credit for any of it. It's just from reading a lot of different people and a lot of different stuff. And quite frankly, some of the stuff that I'm going to share with you tonight is bizarre. I think it's bizarre anyway. I'll get to that in just a minute. It's just nuts. And I mentioned Sunday that the world is nuts. I mentioned it on purpose at both 8:30 and 11. And one of the reasons that I think they have gone the direction that they have gone, now this is not a far stretch when I get to what I'm going to say, because they embrace evolution and neglect a creator. You say, oh, that's taking that awful far. Not really. Not when you understand all of their philosophy. So about a month ago or so, I gave a little lesson on, you know, creation and what they're actually call themselves today as naturalists. They don't call themselves evolutionists. But I want to share some of the things with you tonight on that. It is hard to imagine anything any more absurd than a naturalist formula for the origin of the universe. Now, here is their formula for the origin of the universe. Ready? Nobody times nothing equals everything. Now, that doesn't even make sense, but that is exactly what they believe. So here's what happens. There's no creator. There's no design. There's no purpose. There's nothing. Everything there is simply emerged and evolved off of the Big Bang theory. But what touched off the Big Bang? And so how do we, whatever is that touched it off, how did that come about? And a Big Bang out of nothing just cannot be the beginning of all things. But to the evolutionist or to the naturalist, it is. And so you might want to ponder some questions with them. What was the first cause that caused everything else? Right? The law of cause and effect? What was the first? So for instance, I'm going to get a drink of water. I had to reach down there with my arm. And I put it up to my lips. And the cause was, I got a swallow of water. What caused it to happen? The arm. Something had to make it happen. But they say, no. Where did matter, energy come from? Then you might want to ask them this. What holds everything together? And what's the Bible say about that? God holds everything together. By him all things consist. What keeps everything going? God does. The earth revolves in such a way that if that got messed up, we'd be done. Where did intelligence originate? You know, the Bible answers every single one of those questions. Or is there a personal, intelligent designer who created everything and set it all in motion and holds it all together? And we say, God did. Now, those are important questions to the meaning and understanding of life. Every one of them has to do with the meaning and understanding of life. But the naturalists cannot really answer them, because to them, because they reject creation, and this is why we should make a mountain out of it, because they reject creation, nothing is supernatural. They don't believe in the supernatural at all. Everything happens by natural process, and thus there is no personal creator, which leads to this. Human life has no real value, which leads to abortion, euthanizing people, and it all starts because they said, we don't believe in a creator. And so ultimately, human life has no real value. Actually, it would appear that human life to them is a freak accident with no purpose or no importance at all. Now, if true to their philosophy, that's what they have to conclude, and it erases the image of God right out of our life. And we just read a little bit ago, we were created in his image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. So it's degrading the several things. But I'm going to start right there. It's degrading to humanity. The drift in society proves it. We are witnessing the abandonment of the moral standards and the loss of humanity's sense of destiny. For instance, crime, drug abuse, sexual perversion on everything imaginable, abortion, they are all symptoms that human life is being systematically destroyed, and those trends are directly traceable to the use and to the belief of everything in the evolutionary theory. Everybody that believes in evolution, that's where they are. And quite honestly, with their theory, why not? If evolution is true, humans are just one of the many species that evolved from our common ancestors. Now, I like that song, "I'm no kin to a monkey's no kin to me." But the evolutionists would hate that song because they believe they are akin to the monkey, right? We're no better than animals, and we ought not to think that we are. And so you've got these radical liberals that really believe that. If everything evolved from matter, why would you esteem the spiritual? And they don't. In fact, to them, no, I already said this, nothing is spiritual. It all just came about by chance, and it just evolved. And so nothing plus nothing equals everything. That's their theory. No cause, no effect. The philosophy is precisely the rationale behind the modern animal rights movement that is utter degradation of the human mankind. And I'm going to read you something here in a little bit. They put animals up here and us down here. I mean, it's just bizarre. All radical animal rights advocates are evolutionists, 100% of them. Their belief system is the byproduct of rejecting a creator and embracing evolution. Now, have you heard of this group of people? People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA. They're nuts. They're just nuts. They're out in left field somewhere. It's well known for its stance that animal rights are equal to or more important than human rights. That is not what you read when you read Genesis chapter 1. We have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the land animals and all of that. So God gave that to us. I didn't read this, but let me read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living what? Soul. The animals don't have a soul, but God didn't breathe into the nostrils of them. But he did us. But this PETA group, they are out there. So I'll just say this before, because I want to make sure I get it in. Now, I've given you some certain things that when you look at a candidate, you can tell how to vote. Like if they're pro-Israel, you might consider them very seriously. If they're anti-Israel, you would probably say, nope, no vote. But if you said, are you pro-PETA? And they would say, oh, yeah, I wouldn't vote for them if they were running against the wolf. Okay, I would vote for the wolf first. But I'm just telling you, these people are nuts. And they maintain, this is all documented facts, they maintain that killing any animal for food is the moral equivalent of murder. I've murdered multiple times, evidently, in their philosophy. Eating meat is virtually cannibalism to them. And man is a tyrant species, and man is detrimental to the environment. Oh, I got crazier stuff to read than that. PETA opposes the keeping of pets and companion animals, including dogs for the blind. I took that as a quote. A 1988 statement distributed by the organization includes, as John Byron has written his book Fettered Kingdoms, companion animals are like slaves, even if well-kept slaves. That's what they believe. Ingrid Newkirk, she ought to be called Nutcase. Anyway, she's she's their founder. She's the one that founded PETA. She said, there is no rational basis for saying that a human being has special rights. Yes, there is. But she says that. Where was I? A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. That's a quote. Newkirk told a Washington Post reporter that the Nazi Germany pale by comparison to the killing animals for food. I'm worse than Hitler. They believe this stuff. 6 million Jews died in the concentration camps. This is continue her quote. But 6 million broiler chickens have died this year in the slaughterhouses. You can't make this up, man. I could have never come up with that. This particular lady, Miss Newkirk, is more outraged by the killing of chickens for food than she is the wholesale slaughter of human beings. So I said, if you find out that these people are pro-PETA, you better just say, you know what, I'm not voting for these people. They're nuts. See, I'm not kidding you. Ooh, thank you, sir. when I say they're nuts. One gets the impression that she would not necessarily consider the extinction of humanity as undesirable. In fact, just in case you didn't know, she and other animal rights advocates often sound downright enthusiastic of doing away with the human race. And so she told the reporter this. She said, "I don't have any reverence for life, only for entities themselves. Listen," she said, "I would rather see a blank space where I am. This will sound like a fruitcake."
It does.
"Like a fruitcake stuff again, but at least I wouldn't be harming anything." So she could stand here and say, "If I'm not here, I wouldn't be harming anything." She's kind of right, but anyway, we won't go there. The summer issue of the Wildlife magazine, that's a journal that promotes radical environmentalism, included a manifesto for the kingdom of the human race written under this guy, and this was his, like, what do you call somebody that comes up with a fake name? It's Les Unite. Get it? Les Unite. The article said, quoting again, "If you haven't given voluntary human extinction much thought before, the ideal of a world with no people in it may seem strange. But if you give it a chance, I think you might agree that the extinction of Homo sapiens would mean survival for millions, if not billions, of earth-dwelling species." This is what they say. "Phasing out the human race will solve every problem on Earth, social and environmental." They are just nuts. That is the worse than merely irrational. I mean, it's beyond irrational. It's deadly. But there is even an organization, are you ready for this one? Yes, sir. I know, I might get to that next week. I like that. I would join that group. I would. Listen to this one. There's an organization called the Church of Euthanasia. It doesn't even make sense. The webpage advocates suicide. This is what the webpage of this church advocates: suicide, abortion, cannibalism, sodomy, as the main ways to decrease the human population, because they're all about decreasing the human population. Although the webpage contains elements of deliberately designed for shock value, the people behind it are deadly serious in their opposition of the countenance of the human race. They include detailed, I'm reading now, they include detailed instructions for committed suicide. The one commandment church members are required to obey is this: thou shalt not procreate. Really? It's almost comical, but they really believe this stuff. It's scary. "By deliberately making their views sound as outrageous as possible, they have spread widespread coverage on talk shows and tabloid-style news programs. They take advantage of such publicity members to get their cause. Despite their shocking message, they have evidently been able to persuade numerous people that the one species on Earth that ought to be made extinct is humanity. Their website boasts people in the thousands, listen, have paid the $10 membership fee to become a church member." They're just out there.
But you don't want people like that to reproduce.
That's a good point. Good point, Marty. Now, let's go back and read this Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 again. Everything I just said, as bizarre as it sounds, is exactly what they believe. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Oh, no. Don't read this to a PETA people. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." By the way, that was before the fall. It was before the fall. So God created man in his own image. Did God create any other animals in his own image?
No.
"In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply." But they say, Commandment number one, don't procreate. I read this stuff. I start reading these books and I just can't put them down because it's hard for me to fathom that people believe this stuff. And supply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Oh, don't, not that. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for me. God gave it to man. Amen. Now, it's kind of obvious. So what I said a moment ago about PETA is absolutely in a direct opposition to the Bible. So when you vote, if you can find out if this person believes in PETA, is supportive of PETA, just so you know, they are in direct opposition of the Word of God. Don't vote for them. Evolution is degrading to humanity. And you know what? So I don't think it's a stretch for someone to say, like I said, all of this craziness comes because they reject creation. It just does. Secondly, it's also absent of reason. It just doesn't make sense. In place of a God as creator, the evolutionist has replaced it with chance or accident, or you could even say a coincidence or random events or blind luck, or sometimes Tiffany uses the phrase dumb luck, you know, happen chance, it just kind of sort of happened. What could prompt anybody to embrace a system like that? Why would somebody opt for a worldview that eliminates all kinds of rationale? It boils down to this, I believe with all my heart, a sheer love of sin. People want to be comfortable in their sin, and there is no way to do that without eliminating God out of the picture. So if they can eliminate God out of the picture, the Bible says at the end of the book of Judges, actually it says it twice in Judges, but at the very end it says, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And that's exactly what people want. They want to be comfortable with their sin, get rid of God, and you erase all fear of consequences to sin because there's nobody that can really tell you what's right or what's wrong. So even though sheer irrationality is ultimately the only viable alternative to the God of the Scriptures, multitudes have opted for this irrational just so they can live guilt-free and shamelessly with their own sin. This is just as simple as that. It's as simple. People love their sin. Remember what Jesus said? Man loves darkness rather than light. And so you got this nut jobs. Either there is a God who created the universe and sovereignly rules his creation, or everything else was caused by blind chance. They opt for chance. That's what they do. The two ideas are absolutely as far away as you can get. If God rules, there is no room for chance. Make chance the cause of the universe, and you do away with God. But they are like night and like day. Matter of fact, if chance is detriment of force or a cause exists, even if the frailest form, God has been dethroned. Which, I will probably say some about this next week, I think, because it's time. Oh, that's right. That clock is fast. See, they're messing me up with that clock. I got to fix that thing. But anyway, there are church that you would read their constitution or their statement of faith, and you would say, well, this isn't so bad. This is pretty good. But now they're beginning to embrace a old earth. And so creation isn't really 6 days like it's recorded. You would even say these might be evangelical churches. Creation isn't really 6 days of 24 hours. It's a long period of time and a long period of time. And the order is probably not right either. And so, you know, they don't take that literal. Every time you read about creation elsewhere in the Bible, it is automatically assumed that when you read it, that authors take it literally as a six-day creation. So now but some of these churches, and I'll mention one next week, is kind of moving into that direction, and it's unbelievable. Chance is not a force. Chance cannot make anything happen. Chance really is nothing. It simply doesn't exist. And therefore, it has no power to do anything. It cannot be the cause of any effect. It is imaginary. Hocus pocus is what I like to say. It's contrary to every law of science, every principle of logic, and every intuition of sheer human common sense. Which, you know the most common thing about common sense? It's not common. That's the most common thing. Even the most basic principles of thermodynamics, which everybody knows about, even I know a little bit about that, biology, physics, suggest that chance simply cannot be the determinative force that has brought about order and interdependence that we see in our world, that we see in our universe, much less the diversity of life. Ultimately, chance simply cannot account for the origin of life and intelligence. It's hard to believe people believe this stuff, isn't it? Kind of thinking I mentioned in Sunday school, or mentioned this past Sunday, maybe in the service, anyway, it's created a lot of problems. A lot of problems. I mentioned this, I'll mention it again. You know the fires in California? PETA is responsible for a lot of that. You say they went and lit them? No, they didn't light them. Literally. But you can't go in there and clean up around them power lines. You can't go in there and take away those dead trees. You know what happens when fire hits dead trees? It burns. And you, because you might damage the habitat of a bug. They don't want that. I got to tell you what happened to me once. Oh, this is hilarious. Faith, you remember this? I'll get to the story in just a minute. Yeah, remember that? How old were you then? So they had cut all these trees down along. You know how the power company goes through and they cut the trees? And man, they had some nice stuff in there. And it was cherry and yellow birch. I love yellow birch. I like the smell of the smoke in it. But anyway, they had tree, all hardwood maple. And so I go down and I called Niagara Mohawk. I said, what are they going to do with all this firewood down the road here? She said, nothing. We don't do anything. We just cut it down and leave it there. I says, can I take it? She said, yeah, you can take it. But if it's on private property, you got to talk with the landowner first. I said, okay, I'll do that. I said, but this isn't. This is on state property. Then go take it. I said, thank you. So I went in there, man, with my chainsaw, and I'm starting to cut. These guys were loading on a truck. I got one load out and two loads out. And it was right down the road from my house. And I was on my third or fourth load, and a park police pulled up there from down by Silver Beach. And she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm cutting firewood. I thought it was kind of obvious what I was doing. But anyway, I said, I'm cutting firewood. And she said, well, you can't do that. I said, oh, ma'am, I've already called Niagara Mohawk. They told me I could do this. This is what is on state property, so I can take it. She goes, well, it is on state property, but you can't take it off the park. Why not? I said, what are you going to do with it? You're just going to send some prisoners over? I thought maybe they'd give them some work to cut it. She goes, oh, no, we're not going to do that. So then I asked the ultimate question. I said, what are you going to do with this wood? Now, it's one log. Well, I mean, there's not one log, but it's only one log high. You know what I mean? Well, she said, it serves two purposes. And I says, what may that be? And she's number one, you ready for this one, Jeff? It makes a natural barrier to keep the deer from crossing the road. And I did just what you did. That's what she said. I'm thinking, a deer can jump a 7-foot fence from a standing stop, and you're going to worry about one, you're going to worry about a log? The second reason, she says, you know, when these logs start to deteriorate, it gives the bugs a place to live. And I thought to myself, and I almost said it, and then you can spray to kill all the bugs, because that's what we end up doing, right? You talk about illogical. That was her logic. You remember that? Oh, yeah, Faith remembers. I didn't make that up. You can't make up stuff like that. But, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just irrational. And there is no uncaused events. Did you know every watch has a watchmaker? Every building has a builder. Every structure has an architect. Every arrangement has a plan. Every plan has a planner. And every plan has a purpose. And God has a purpose for you and I. And so here's what the Bible says in Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They can go to Romans chapter 1. They can say there is no God if they want to. But you know what? They're without excuse. Now I want to read a passage here. Let me find it. Romans 1. Verse 18, let me back up. I got to stop in a minute. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the I read verse 20, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. See, they don't want to. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. That's exactly what they do. And to birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, which is what they want anyway, right? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, they have, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman. Okay, some people say, well, only the Old Testament talks about homosexuality. This is New Testament. In fact, this is the Day of Grace New Testament. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They hate God. That's what it says. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, there's quite a list, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. These people are just out there, but they don't want anything to do with God. And so to them, everything happens by accident, or it's a coincidence. Now, I'm going to stop there. I do have a little bit more here, but I'll quit. But I got to tell you something. These people are just crazy. And if you turn on the Discovery Channel, which I like to watch some of the Discovery Channel, we don't get it anymore, but or you pick up an issue of National Geographic. You've ever been to a doctor's and pick up the National Geographic magazine? These people are right into it. You will be exposed to the assumption that chance exists as a force, and if mere chance spontaneously generated everything that we have in our universe. And they really believe it. But it's just nuts. Anyway, I better stop. Father, we try to educate the church so they know what's going on out there. And as parents and grandparents and our kids in all kinds of universities and colleges and schools, they are exposed to all of this nonsense. And quite frankly, they are very much looked down upon if they don't embrace it. And so, Father, I just pray that you would give us strong parents, strong families, strong young people that will stand on the Word of God, despite the forces of evil that work against it. Help us to educate those that we can educate. In Jesus' name, amen.